So in today's gospel, we hear the two greatest commandments. First, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think we've heard these commandments so often that we kind of get used to hearing them. And I don't think we realize how surprising this answer is. You know, when people think of morality and following moral rules, how often do they think of love? You know, usually they're thinking of obedience. You know, like the moral commandments are just a list of rules that we need to obey. And if we obey them, great. If we disobey, we get punished. You know, rather than associating them with love. You know, how often would we read the Ten Commandments and read it as a love letter? You know, people don't do that. They read it as a list of things not to do. You know, if we were looking for a book on moral theology and we went to the bookstore, would we go to the romance section to find it? No, probably not. You know, so, it's kind of surprising that Christ associates love with following the commandments. And people in today's culture will often disobey the moral law and they'll use love as a justification for not following the moral law. You know, so often people see the moral law as something that interferes with their ability to love others and to attain the happiness they want in life. And we see this especially in areas like fornication. You know, people will say, why can't I love whoever I want? You know, whether I'm married to them or not. You know, people who commit adultery, they'll say, I don't love my spouse anymore, but I love this other person. So they'll use love as a justification for not obeying the moral law. You know, moral laws against cohabitation or defending the institution of marriage. People see these as interfering with their ability to love. And they'll say, why can't I love whoever I want? You know, the moral law is interfering with love. So in today's culture, people often see the moral law as something that interferes with their happiness. Yeah, but the heart and soul of the moral law, everything that it's ordered to, is authentic love. And as human beings, we need love to flourish. We were created ultimately for union with God, and God is love. And so at the deepest level of our being, each one of us needs to love others and to receive love in order to have a life of happiness and fulfillment. You know, ultimately, a life of happiness is one of love. And if we don't have love in our life, it's going to be a life that's miserable. So the moral law helps to determine and helps us to distinguish between authentic love that's going to lead us to flourishing and a counterfeit to true love. There's a lot of things in the culture and around us that pretend to be love or people mistake as love and they think it's going to lead them to flourishing, but it ultimately doesn't. And the moral law also helps to purify our love from selfishness. Because very often our own disorders or our own selfishness interfere with our ability to love others fully. And so the moral law helps to purify us of those attachments. And so what are some examples? Well, you could take any element of the moral law and use it as an example. But if you take greed, for example, you know, if people have a disordered love for money, that will not lead them to happiness and fulfillment because ultimately we're created for a relationship with other people, not with a material object. And money is never going to embrace us and tell us that it loves us. You know, we can never enter into an authentic relationship with money. And so to set that as a goal in a disordered way is going to lead us away from authentic love. And greed can actually cause us to put money over other people, where we actually harm other people out of self-interest, and so it'll interfere with our ability to love and to flourish. If we take something like fornication, you know, having relations outside of marriage, a lot of young people will say, well, I love the person, why can't I have relations with them? But the reality is the marital act, the two become one flesh, not just physically, but spiritually. You know, they're bonded together on an emotional and a spiritual level. And they're bound together in a bond of exclusive love, which is ultimately open to the procreation of children. But that relationship is fake if there's no commitment. If that man and woman haven't made a commitment to stay faithful to each other, then they're eventually going to leave each other. And the fact that they give their love to each other and they have this bond, that's going to be broken, and that's going to lead to their harm when that bond is broken and one or the other person leaves the relationship. And people might say, well, we're committed. Well, if you're committed, then make the marriage vows. You know, there's no authentic love without commitment. And so it's either lust or it's people seeking emotional fulfillment in a way that's not going to lead them to happiness. And so every aspect of the moral law, as you go through it, every element is aimed at purifying our love and leading us to authentic love and leading us away from counterfeit versions that are going to lead to our harm. If you look at something like giving alms, that's charity to our neighbor in their time of need, motivated out of compassion. If we look at something like obedience to our parents, obedience to the church, obedience to legitimate civil authority, obedience to God, that's an act of love. And disobedience is an act of selfishness. Something like the four cardinal virtues. We need those in order to be in a healthy relationship with others. Temperance is self-control. Justice, treating others equitably. Fortitude, having the strength to persevere in love amid difficulties, and prudence, the ability to see the other person and situations as they truly are without them being distorted. You know, all of these things, every element of the moral law is aimed at purifying our love. And so if we want to live a life that's rich and full and filled with authentic love, then become a saint. That's the path to a life of rich love. Embrace the moral law in its entirety, and it will purify and lead you to authentic love. And it'll not only be a life of love, but it'll also be a life of zeal, where we're passionate about a cause and greater than ourselves, because love leads us to place others beyond ourselves. And when Christ gives the greatest commandment, he says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. True love conquers apathy and mediocrity because it leads us to a life where we're completely and totally dedicated to something beyond ourselves. And so we should never view the moral law as a burden. I mean, yes, it's difficult to live by the moral law because it makes demands upon us. It requires our purification and it requires constant self-denial. But those are the very things that we need in order to allow authentic love to flourish in our lives. And so we shouldn't view the moral law as a burden, but recognize that it's the path to authentic love and to a life of zeal, which ultimately is the only life worth living. And so, you know, as a task for this week, as we reflect on the gospel, what I'd encourage you to do is make a good examination of conscience. Look at your life and compare it to the moral law and ask yourself what needs to change in your life in order to allow authentic, true love to flourish. Is there some person in your life that you're not treating right, that you're harboring a grudge against or hatred for? Is there some sort of attitude, an attitude of disobedience or an attitude of defiance or an attitude of rejection of authority? Is there some type of attitude that needs to change? Or is there some type of behavior in your life that you know is not in accord with the moral law and that needs to change? So I encourage you this week to do a good examination of conscience against the moral law and ask yourself what needs to change in order for authentic love to flourish more fully in your life.